Welcome to A Voice of a People live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. How you doing out there today? It's kind of rainy, but, you know, like I tell people, I'm not the weatherman, but I'm very observant, and we had to come to the radio station in the rain. But you know what? It's just another day that the Lord has made, and we still will be rejoicing and be glad in it. Thank you for tuning in. If it's your first time, I pray it's not your last time. And for those of you who faithfully listen and support A Voice of a People, thank you so much for your love and for your support. I'm live right now on www.wwgh1071.com. I'm also live right now on that TuneIn app, and that TuneIn app is accessible to you on any electronic device. And all you have to do is type in WWGH in your search bar. And don't forget, it's also in your smart TV apps. Tune in. I'm live right now in the studio by calling 740-383-9944 if you have any questions or would like to just be a part of our show today. All right, let us move on. Along with you, listeners and supporters, is Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC of 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. I know many of you may say she give these same people every time she comes on. These same people have been with me all these years, you know, and they want their businesses and churches to be mentioned throughout our community so you will know them and remember them. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson at 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. That number, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement is free produce every third Saturday of every month beginning at 12 noon until 2 p.m. And that will be three Saturdays from this Saturday. Oh, this Saturday's your first, right?
Yeah,
already. Saturday. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Can you believe it's November? Okay. We also have Cheryl Lee. We're still asking people to lift her up in prayer. She's the coordinator for Child's Evangelism Fellowship, known as the Good News Clubs, which are positioned in all North Union City and County, and along with Marion City and County elementary schools. So lift her up in prayer. Anyone else you know needs to be lifted up in prayer. Just remember them and just ask the Lord to touch their bodies and heal them. Deliver them from afflictions because, you know, it could be us the next day.
Yep.
Or someone in your family. So we want to be mindful of that. Okay, let us move along. I do have one announcement. Two. Don't forget that the Meet and Dine with the President of the United States of America, an event that will be sponsored by Marion County Historical Society. It's their 15th annual. This takes place at All Occasions Catering and Banquet Facility in Waldo, Ohio. And that will be this Saturday, November the 1st, 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. There will be presidents and first ladies will be there. And they will be in their presidential garb and their first lady garb. So it should be a night to remember for those who will be able to attend. They will be having a special guest speaker, Mary Ellen Withrow, whom we are still proud to be amongst us, 95 years old, still driving on her own, still mm-hmm. getting around at every event I go to. She's already
She's out there doing it, huh?
Yeah. At 95. You know what I mean? Wow.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when I see her, she looks younger and younger. I just saw her this Wednesday. I'm like, oh, my God, Mary Ellen, you look beautiful.
Yeah.
Just beautiful. Well, she will be the guest speaker there that night. So if you haven't gotten your tickets, you may have a chance to get tickets by calling 740-387-4255 or just go to Heritage Hall and ask for your tickets if you intend on going. Also, there will be having Heart of Ohio Homeless Shelter 5th Annual Donation Drive-Through. This will be Saturday, November the 15th, 9 a.m., 12 p.m., drive-through location, 326 West Fairground Street in Marion. Donation items needed. They need copy paper, envelopes, stamps, toilet paper, paper towels, 13-gallon trash bags, laundry detergent, floor cleaner, bleach, disinfecting spray, dish soap, bath towels, washcloths. So when you're out and about, pick up something for the homeless shelter. You know, that is something that is on the rise and growing.
Homelessness.
Yes.
Houselessness. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. By great leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
And they do need our help. Mm-hmm. Now, the number for the homeless shelter is 740-387-4550. Let me share the thought for today. Being comes from doing. People spend most of their lives running after things, doing things. They forget that being comes from doing. Those who remember this secret make an effort to be and discover that when they stop and observe, life helps and brings whatever is needed. Learning to be is learning to be at peace. It is our most fundamental nature. I agree with that. I agree with that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Being is doing.
Yes,
we're
it is.
Human being, not a human doing.
Amen.
Yeah, I love that.
Amen. Love that. Amen. And if you're not doing something, you're not being, right?
Yeah, that's true.
All right. My guest today, Johnny Jackson, I don't know his exact title, but he's going to bring you up to speed with his title and what he's doing right now today. How you doing, Johnny?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate the invitation. So,
of course.
Super excited to talk about, you know, Black Joy Fest, but also what I'm doing with my project for black students called Harambe.
Yes, Harambe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah, it's really cool. So I work for Marion City Schools. I'm the community coordinator. I was formerly DEI coordinator, but my job title shifted and my duties shifted. And one of the projects that I work on that is near and dear to my heart is called Harambe. Harambe is a word from Kiswahili, from Kenya. It means we all pull together. So when I was in graduate school at Miami University, I worked under this professor. Her name is Denise Telefero-Bazil, and she's a professor of education and black studies. And once a week, she would have us go down to Cincinnati and serve in this school. And we did what we call Harambe Circle.
Mm-hmm.
And in that circle, we would have our young people say one positive thing that's happened in their life, one negative thing that's happened in their life. And that really built a bridge between me and young people.
Okay.
But alongside that, I was learning a lot about black history and black studies. So when I had an opportunity to start working for Marion City Schools, I feel like I wanted to build something very similar for our young people.
Right.
Give them a space to talk about the goodness that's happened in their lives and the challenges.
Amen.
And we started out, myself and Aaron Slater, who worked at the YMCA at the time, we wrote a small grant for YUSA, a Boys and Young Men of Color grant. And we won. I think it was like $5,000.
Oh, great.
And we took that money and we invested in some books and some young people. And we started off with five young people and George Washington Elementary School. And they were in fourth and fifth grade at the time, and now they're sophomores. So I've been working on this project for 6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the highlight of my week every Friday. And my open invitation to you, Ms. Sims, is every Friday from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, I'm with these young people, and they are amazing. They're smart, they're talented, they're funny, they're precocious and curious. I think they're all things good, all things bad, everything under the sun, as our ancestors would say. So, they very much enrich my life, and I open up that space, and really this year, this is what we're concentrating on. The three A's. One is attendance. Not only getting kids to school, but when you're in school, make sure you get to class on time.
Right.
Academics. Just paying attention. Being focused on the academics that are very important to you, being able to move up and graduate, because that's a big thing.
Yes, it is.
And then the activities, and whatever those activities are, it could be art, it could be music, it could be sports, it could be social clubs. Just getting our kids active in something. And so those three A's are something that we've really been focused on this year in Harambe.
Right.
You know, attendance, academics, and activities, and I think that's also the medicine for our success and growing from 5 students 5 years ago.
Wow.
To now we have about 51 students who attend every week.
Wow. That's
it's very powerful.
Phenomenal right there. Wow. How it has grown in 5 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, our vision is to have about 100 students in our project. And really right now is training the students who have been there for a while to be leaders. Mm-hmm. Once a month, I'll get with them outside of school mm-hmm. and just have some conversations with my student leaders. There's about 10 of them. Mm-hmm. And we get a chance just to talk about what they feel is going good in Harambe, what they feel is not going so good.
Right.
And the big thing right now is making sure when people come into our space, they respect the space.
Right.
So, you know, like, they're like older church members, right? Like, mm-hmm. you come into church, you need to know the rules.
That's right.
Can you chew gum? Are you allowed to have that peppermint? Are mm-hmm. the ushers going to come by and say, hey, right. give me that? You're not supposed to be doing that.
Right.
So I rely on the young people to help me create the rules.
That's great.
And the respectful bounds. And I learn a lot. That is the big thing for me, is I learn a lot from the young people about the game has changed. Mm-hmm. You know, back in the day when I was being raised, it was like, you need to respect your elders, and respect is given to elders first. Mm-hmm. I think the game has changed now, where our young people expect you to respect them and pay into that bank account of respect in order for you to get respect out.
Gotta earn it. That's where they are.
So I think that that's how the game has changed mm-hmm. when it comes to adult and young people's relationships.
Yeah, because we didn't have that choice.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep, yep, yep.
You did it or die, right?
Yep, exactly. Because I was raised a lot by my grandparents, mm-hmm. and that was the way. Like, you need to respect your elders no matter what. It's
just
changed.
Flipped.
It is changed.
Well, you know? I can get that. I understand that to a big, because of what our young people has gone through.
That's true. That's true.
They don't have the same parents they did yeah. as we did. Like yeah. your grandmother, you know. Mm-hmm. I would be in her place now.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're getting few and far in between as mm-hmm. far as living, you know, a longevity of life.
Of course.
Where we can share those things with our young people, you know, because I have to respect my grandkids.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, if yeah. I want them to respect me, so I get it.
Mm-hmm. And those nuggets of wisdom. And one of the things that I'm trying to do is bring community people in so our young people can hear from them. Like, we brought Ms. Tara Dyer in mm-hmm. so she could talk about her role in the community on the Board of Education and some other things, bringing Pastor Jackie in. And then being able to hear her perspective as being not only a pastor, but a mother, grandmother,
right.
that kind of thing. So bringing some of those community leaders that our young people can see themselves in, mm-hmm. I think that's been critical for them too, because they also want to know what's going on in the community mm-hmm. and how they can be a part of it. The game has changed too. Not a lot of our young people go to church.
Right.
Sports and school and then whatever else they're into. So we have to sometimes bring those leaders to the school so they can have that contact with our young people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So do they ever mention to you about church, what their beliefs are, or maybe
question.
Their parents didn't take them to church? I don't
yeah.
know.
I think a lot of our young people are curious about having a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I was just talking to my teens about this past weekend. I was like, are y'all interested in being a part of a church? They said, yeah. If someone was to give us a ride, if someone was to like say like, hey, we're going to go and create this schedule,
mm-hmm.
I think that they would be a part of church mm-hmm. or however you want to kind of move.
Right.
So that's something that I think they're interested in.
Oh.
You know.
Well, that's good to hear.
Mm-hmm. They're interested in it, and I think that they would be a part of it if they could have that consistency.
Right.
You know. And what we know in schools is if you can get a kid to be a part of a singing program or sports program mm-hmm. or arts program, you hook the kid, you hook the family.
Right.
And that's how you can kind of bring them in. You've seen it before, like
mm-hmm.
a kindergarten
yeah.
performance, and you have grandma, great-grandma, auntie,
They dad, bring the mom, rest of them,
and
yes.
Everybody comes in.
Right.
I think for our young people, we need to generate some of those similar experience. Sports right. is a part of it, but then there's some other community events, like, say, Black Joy Fest.
Right.
Is another part of it, and other activities that might be in the community.
Right. Yeah. Well, that sounds good. That sounds good. And, like, the reason why I mentioned that, because our church is in a transition, and we lost all of our young people.
Yeah.
You know, so then there's that kind of stagnates the life of a church,
mm-hmm.
you know, because your mm-hmm. youth is life
yeah.
and longevity of a church. And we have all those rooms available for mm-hmm. youth to go in there and study and things yeah. like that. And it just kind of triggered my mind that maybe we could work something out in yeah. the future as far as trying to get them, what's the word, allocated
yeah.
to
connected.
Just connected. Yeah.
And, you know, I think a lot of churches are going through that transition of, like, how do we recruit young people,
mm-hmm.
connect young people?
Because we know they'll bring the parents.
They really
coming,
will.
Yeah.
One of the things I've learned is out of being consistent with our young people working in a school system is that they do need that consistency.
Mm-hmm.
So I make sure, although my project doesn't start until 9:15, I'm always there at 9 because I have some kids that might come early because mm-hmm. they want to talk one-on-one about whatever's going on in their life,
mm-hmm.
right? And I try to make sure that I'm consistent every Friday. The more that you're consistent with our young people, the better, because, you know, we have young people who parents might, you know, might be addicted, might be incarcerated, might have lost their job, might have lost their benefits. So sometimes there's some instability. The more that school, church, and community can create consistency and stability for our young people,
they can depend on it.
They will do whatever you need them to do as long mm-hmm. as, you know, you respect them, you're consistent, and there's
right.
the stability.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's powerful, Johnny. It really is. And I expect that. I expect that because no one wants to be a part of something that's not going to stand.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because yep. you can't depend on it, and uh-huh. they need something to depend on.
Yeah, yeah.
After looking at all those categories you just brought up, you mm-hmm. know, drugs or incarceration of their parents.
Job instability.
Yeah,
you know, that
losing
kind
their
of thing.
Benefits. And
because, you know, a lot of our young people are working class young people. And now they're getting to the age, many are like 15, 16.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
they're starting to say, like, hey, I need a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited. I'm excited about that piece because there's something, particularly for young black men, there's something that a job does for you that you're starting to earn your own money and you're starting to understand. And maybe your parent or person at home is teaching you to break down on, like, well, lights cost this, gas
right.
cost this, food cost this, insurance. So you're starting to get just a taste of independence.
Right.
And that's the most exciting thing about working with young black men is seeing how they've kind of developed. From fourth grade, now they're sophomores and they're becoming, they're practicing their driving.
Yes, yeah.
They're getting jobs. They're
wow.
getting their first loves and they've fallen out of love. Like, so it's really enriching to see them go through those process and just be a person who's just coming alongside them and
yes.
saying, like, you know, I can be a listening ear or I can be a nudge to say, like, I don't think you should do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But talk me through why you want to do it.
Because mm-hmm.
that's another piece is that our young people need listened to and affirmed
mm-hmm.
and then also challenged. But the
yes.
challenge can't come first.
Right.
Listen to needs to come first. Affirm them needs to come second, and then the challenge needs to come third. A lot of times I think that we just challenge our young people, but they do need that listening affirmation first.
Well, now that's powerful there.
You know?
Let me write that down. Listening.
Listening, and then affirm them, and then challenge them. Because they're living in a world with a lot of instability. And
changes,
so
yes.
when you're able to listen to them and hear some of the worries that they have about the world, and then, like, affirm the goodness that they do and then challenge the things that they're not doing
mm-hmm.
so well, you win a relationship like that.
Right.
So going back to what you were saying about the way that churches can recruit young people, feeding them is always great, entertaining them is always good, but being able to listen, affirm them, and challenge them.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You win a parishioner and a member for life, and I think that that's why with Arambe I have 51 students in there, mm-hmm. is because I think sometimes people see on the outside where we've been celebrating birthdays, because a lot of my young people are born in October and November, so we've just been celebrating birthdays, so bringing cupcakes in, mm-hmm. but they can see through that. They can see through the music that they're able to listen to at the first 5 minutes, mm-hmm. and the cupcakes, but then we do these cards, and that's really where the richness is I have this book here, it's called Black to Success, mm-hmm. culturally enriching, particularly males, but it could be used for anyone.
Right.
And I use this to enrich who they are. I go through things like between now and next session, what are some steps to doing your best, mm-hmm. at home, at school, and then they choose another space. Our young people do want challenge to do the right thing, but that listening and affirmation come first. Mm-hmm. And so, there's no better voice to recruit young people than other young people. So they'll tell their friends. And we have a cross segment of young people. Some are coming for learning about Black history and culture. Some are coming for the cupcakes and the music, mm-hmm. which I get that too.
Yeah.
And some are coming to be social with their friends. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that no matter how they come into the space, I want to give them a message of affirmation and challenge and listening. Right. So that's kind of like the bread and butter of what mm-hmm. we do.
And that's good. That's so good. Affirmation. That's so important. Because we want to be affirmed.
Yes.
You know, I was just talking last evening about some of the challenges I went through when I was born.
Yeah.
And being the oldest, you've probably heard my story mm-hmm. during Marrying Voices and stuff, you know. And being the oldest and being responsible for all the other little ones,
yeah,
and
yeah.
you know, it's like I went without even. Yeah. Oh, well, she doesn't exist. She's just here mm-hmm. for this. Like my friends used to call me Cinderella, right? Because I couldn't go out.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like that. I had to do my work.
Responsibilities.
Yeah, and yeah. I just couldn't go out and play what yeah. they wanted to go play and stuff like that, you know. Cinderella can't come outside today, you yeah. know, like.
And you know, my students, I think that's a good point to talk about is what we call in educational research the adultification of Black girls. How Black girls are seen older than who they are due to some of the responsibilities.
Yes.
You being the oldest in your family, so at home you have some responsibilities, but you also need some care around who you are, your dreams and aspirations.
Which was much, much later in yep. my life, because I didn't know how to have that or like a childhood.
Yeah, yep, yeah.
You know, yep. like a lot of my friends did, it was about them and their childhood. You yep. know, they wasn't like bound to the house like I was. Couldn't do this, couldn't do that. You couldn't go here. All this had to be done yep. first, you know. So,
yeah.
And it made me who I am today.
Sure.
You know, which was serious.
Yeah.
You know?
I've been called that. Yeah, yeah.
Too serious
about yeah. life. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a friend that called me too serious about life. And part of my too seriousness is, you know, I'm 5 years old when my dad first gets incarcerated. So then my mom is a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to them. Shout out to my mom and my dad. And then I'm 10, 11 years old when then my mom gets incarcerated. So my mom and my dad are incarcerated. I go to live with my grandmother, and that's a whole different experience. Then she can't really handle me because, you know, I'm angry and
mm-hmm.
upset.
Mm-hmm.
Then she sends me to live with my Aunt Bertha, live with my Aunt Bertha for a little bit. Then I come back. Then my mom gets out. So I had to be serious about mm-hmm. things, because when you move into different people's homes, what do you got to do? You got to figure out their rules, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable,
right.
and that kind of thing. And I do believe sometimes, because of what happens to us as Black families, we require our kids to grow up too fast. And there's a shrunken childhood Well, if we could dream keep some mm-hmm. of our young people's childhood and say, like, let us take that off your plate. Mm-hmm. Grow up how you need to grow up. Mm-hmm. And that's not saying that we need to extend childhood for young people, but I think for Black young people, they deserve a childhood, the dreams, the aspirations, quality education, quality things, just like any other American children.
Or to play and release.
To play and release is critical,
you know,
right?
Yeah.
I think that because, you know, there's a fifth grade group of kids. There's six of them. I go and get them every Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And part of it is I have a little circle, check in with them. Mm-hmm. And then I just let them play. And then we talk a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's between the check-ins and the play that I want access to childhood for our young people.
Of course.
You know, I'm 10 thinking about the wrong thing. I'm mm-hmm. thinking about, okay, my mom and my dad, when am I going to visit them in mm-hmm. prison?
Right.
You know, I'm sure other people were thinking about other things in their
And that
life.
List has grown exceedingly.
Yeah.
Of young people having to consider where my mother is, where my father
yep.
is, when can I see them, you yep. know, when are they going to be able to be a part of my life like I need them to be, you
yep.
know, and it's like, it's a hard place right
yeah.
now for a lot of young people.
And it's a lot. I think that schools have become hubs in which we're trying to enrich our young people,
mm-hmm.
bring in programming and projects, yeah, to one, increase the literacy,
mm-hmm.
but also increase the life chances
yes.
of our young people.
Yes.
That's why bringing in people like you, Pastor Jackie, Ms. Dyer, and other community leaders, it's enriching to see our young people engage with you all
mm-hmm.
because I can then say when they see you in the community, you can trust this person, but also you can do like we used to do. Anyone can check and correct you.
Right.
Like, hey, don't be running through here, right?
Right.
There's some things about our old village mentality that I do want our young people to experience.
Right, right.
I think the checking and correcting and protecting our young people when they're out, I think that is really healthy
oh, yeah.
for them. And I think our young people really want that.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
want to connect with people that look like them in the community
oh,
and
yeah.
then see them in public and be like, hold on, I know you from, you know, and then their whole life opens up.
Right, right.
Yeah, so that's the exciting part.
And we all need reins on us to be able to
yes.
pull us back,
uh-huh.
you know, like you're going too far now, you're going too fast now, let's slow it down,
yeah.
you know, let's stop and consider
mm-hmm.
what we're doing, you know, and
yeah.
what we need to be doing. That's where I am, as far as, because, you know, I have a grandson that was incarcerated
yep.
for a long time.
We've talked.
Off and on, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Off and on, yeah. But, you know, he's got his license now. He has
Let's
a
go.
Car. I mean, he's on his own now, you know. But it's still, like you say, listen, affirm,
yeah.
and challenge.
Because mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. from 19 years old, he had to live that life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is away from us.
Yeah.
So now he almost has to be reprogrammed.
Yes, yes. And so much in dealing with young Black men, let's say age 10 to 24, the anger is what we see.
Yes.
The anger is like the
it's
cream
number
on
one.
Top. But deeper,
yeah.
the hurt, the neglect, the
yes,
abandonment, the
there.
Sadness. That is like beneath the surface of how we got to get there,
mm-hmm.
heal that, work through it, talk through it, and have brotherhood, sisterhood, community. And I always think about this. One of the hardest hood to live in is boyhood. And then you get to manhood, and it's even more difficult. So if we can, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
give you those tools
mm-hmm.
of being able to, oneself, regulate yourself, know thyself, but then also know what your community has gone through.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes like you can feel the anger, but you can dig deeper to the sadness and neglect, the abandonment, and you can kind of heal that. And it could be sitting in the sun, it could be drumming, it could be journaling, it could be a walk, it could, however we decide that we need to heal,
mm-hmm.
as long as we have those healthy coping mechanisms.
Right.
I think that's key. Like one of my brothers, Timmy Jones,
mm-hmm.
who's always a guest, if I need a good walk and a good talk, It's like God sends them by because we live in the same alley, basically,
okay.
same neighborhood. He'll stop by. We sit on the porch or we go for a walk and we'll talk.
Mm-hmm.
sometimes that saves my life because I'm just in my head.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we all need that person.
Yes, we do.
You know, that brother, that sister, that loved one.
Yeah.
You gotta do that.
That release, absolutely. Yeah. I need it myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I do walk and talk and just, you know, look at the sky and look at the hand of God and pray,
definitely. That's the other thing is, like, the prayer piece is critical.
Yes, it is.
You know, being taught how to pray.
Yes.
In that relationship with God.
Yes.
You know, it's critical.
Right, because otherwise, he is our being. He is the one who gives us the ability to walk and to talk and to move and just to be in this land alive today, you know. And that's why I feel like, you know, it's just an added plus to have that relationship with Christ and to know that he's real, you know. And you can, he's the one that's really never going to leave you nor forsake you, you know. He said, I'll be with you till the end of the earth, you know.
Amen.
So, and it's a process, of course, just like anything else, building up your confidence and trust. In someone you can't see.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I often, we were talking about this before, is like, ask God, why does God put this responsibility on me to work with and connect and care for 51 young people? And God's like, you asked for it. Like, and I was like always saying, like, I want to know how I can serve. How can I use my brain, my heart, my knowledge, my feeling that God has given me, my God-given talent? How can I use it to impact young people?
Mm-hmm.
And this is weekly, this is the most tangible thing that God has given me and been able to let me do, is provide a space for young people to listen to them, to affirm them, and to challenge them. And then bring other folks into that space who I admire, and they can do that for me, and also they can do that for our young people.
True,
you know, they can enrich, you know, ourselves.
Right. Because
we can see, I think with God's blessings, we can see that blessing in another person. I think that's the beautiful thing about life.
And that's true. That's true. And when you look at your life, and where what you have been sharing with us, your journey has educated you.
Yeah.
And position you to share that journey with others and bringing them up, you know, how God brought you up.
Yeah.
So you're the perfect candidate.
Right.
You know, to be where you are. You
I'm
know?
Actually glad you said that because I was, my dad is at the end of an 8-year sentence in prison, right? We were talking on the phone last Saturday and we were catching up because we hadn't talked in a while. And I was asking him, like, so what are your plans when you get out?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things do you want to do? Because I'm 40. He's 70, going to be 71.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably spent the better part of 35 years on and off incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that's nothing but God to keep me in relationship with my father.
Mm-hmm.
Through the sadness and the bitterness and the hurt that I've experienced from the neglect, God is the one that makes me answer that call.
Yes.
God is the one that makes me write that letter.
Yes.
God is the one that my dad is like, can you put a couple of dollars on my books? I'm just like, God, okay. I'm going to be faithful. But,
right.
But God, why do you want me to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And God is just like, because you asked for it.
Right.
You asked to be a part of the community. And that's what it means to be a part of a community.
Yes.
To take care of the least of these, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jesus goes and shakes the tables.
That's right.
Like, I think that is just a part of it. So I do, I'm always thinking about that responsibility, whether it's to the young people or to my aging parents or to community. Like, those responsibilities are deep. And like you said, like, I love when you said, like, people see me as serious. I feel the same way. I feel that. I feel that seriousness because where life is long and precious, I think God gives us that extension to do the right thing.
I do, too.
You know?
I do, too. Now, I do have fun. I like to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, joke and stuff like that. But I'm serious.
Yeah. You know, we see it when we were at Black Joy Fest and we're doing the line dances or we're eating and chatting or we're getting with the people who we love dearly, you know, who we're endeared to, which I'm super excited about that too, is what Black Joy Fest will be in the future, because that was a really, really great event to start. And
it was.
Some of my young people have been on different panels, mm-hmm. or they volunteered to help there.
True.
And it's just something that is, it's like a shot of goodness, mm-hmm. for us here in Marion.
That's so true. So mm-hmm. true. And unity, and bringing our community in,
yes.
along with us,
yeah,
you know,
because yeah.
we can't stand alone. It has been a group of many people who
yeah.
have helped Black people survive,
yes.
in this, you know,
in this
since
forest,
we've been here.
In this wilderness, yeah.
yeah.
You're right. Even the great job you all did last time around the marker unveiling. I think it's amazing that we were able to talk about what happened in 1919 to unveil that. But then as like a public place of mourning and grief,
mm-hmm.
but also as a public place of education.
Yes.
That folks from locally and statewide and nationally can
mm-hmm.
come and be like, oh, this happened here.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is how we're telling the truth about it. And reconciling it.
Yes.
That's a
yes.
beautiful thing for all of us.
And celebratory, because
mm-hmm.
we're celebrating because we have overcome. We're not
yes.
the same, you know.
Yeah.
This community is on the uprise,
yeah.
building it up, you know,
mm-hmm.
making it stronger. And we need many people to do that. But, you know, just talking to you had really encouraged me to go on.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah,
serious, because yeah. I was going to give it up. I did this 1 year, and I said to myself, just 1 year, you
just
know.
Just 1 year.
But I think you've encouraged me to keep it going.
Oh,
isn't
yeah,
that something?
Yeah. And you all, at any time, if you want to come and talk about it, connect with my young people, our young people, because
mm-hmm.
they're in our community. I think that whether they're a senior, a junior, a sophomore, or a freshman, they're really interested. Because, you know, next year, we're going to be celebrating 100 years of Black History Month, 100 years of Black History Week.
Really?
That Carter G. Woodson started in February of 1926.
Okay.
2026 is going to be 100 years. So I have my young people kind of thinking about, we meet four Fridays in February.
Mm-hmm.
Each Friday, we're going to do something to honor Carter G. Woodson, honor Black History Month. And so if Black Joy Fest is something that I can connect them to.
Right, right.
I would love that, because it continues the work, good work that we've done.
Yeah, so
you know?
True, so true. That continues, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The battle is not won yet, but we just continue.
We continue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And bring many more people in
mm-hmm.
around us. But you've encouraged me today,
I'm glad
Johnny.
To hear it.
You really have, because I was like, I don't know, Terrence, are you going to continue to be?
Sure.
Because I took on the president.
I heard.
And I thought,
it is a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It required a lot out of me.
It
know?
Really does. And yeah. so, you know, no matter what the committee is, our young people, I think they're interested.
Oh, I think so,
too. And they want to get
too.
Active. And the other thing about this is, if they did participate, we offer community service credits through the high school.
Oh, okay.
Where not only are they volunteering their time, they can also get these community service hours towards their graduation.
Okay.
So you can kind of consider it like something that they're doing for graduation and something they're doing for community.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Wow. I tell you, time goes so fast.
It really does.
Yeah,
it melts away, don't
yeah,
it?
We got 3 minutes left.
Sure.
And so what else you want to share with us before you leave today?
Yeah, I mean, I really want to give a shout out to our young people. I think that no matter what they're going through, they're doing their best. And when they're not, we can challenge and encourage
mm-hmm.
them.
Amen.
Again, Black Joy Fest 2026 is going to be exciting. I know that you're going to lead alongside other people. And I want people to be encouraged. Black Joy Fest is for everybody.
Yes, it is.
It is very centrally located about the joy of Black folks, but we love everybody.
Everybody.
That comes, and whether you are at the kids' table, whether you're doing games,
mm-hmm.
line dances, food, you're looking at our panels, I think that everybody has a little bit of something that they come. The beautiful thing about the park too, it's so big that you can be nestled in your own place.
Sure can.
And then you hear people come over the microphone say like, the line dance is happening,
mm-hmm.
or come for this panel. So that's the exciting thing about Black Joy Fest. It's small, but no matter who you are, you can get your own little taste of Black history culture while you're there. So,
so
that's
true.
That's a good thing.
So true. Yeah. So true. And it's not easy to fill up Martin Luther King Park either.
not at all. Not at all. If you think about how big it is.
Yeah, it didn't even seem that big till you start trying to put people in it and fill it up. It's like, well, nobody's hardly even here. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people. I think we had a huge people coming in, participation, the unveiling of the marker was really great.
That was a great hook. Yes. It was a really, really good hook.
And brought a lot of people in, you know.
Hopefully,
officials.
In the future, as we're working towards these things, that we can bring back some of those families who left during that mass exodus in 1919.
Oh, that'd be great.
And kind of honored them, let them see, of course, the memorial, but then hear from them and how their life has transformed and connect to our community.
I wouldn't even know how to get a hold of them. I don't even know who was even living here during those times.
Yeah,
I don't.
We would have to get the census records.
Okay.
From, you know, I'm assuming like 1915, 1910,
right.
Something like that. But that's something that we can do, and alongside the students, they can help us with.
Sounds great.
They got these smart tools that they use, and they're learning, and they know more than you and I sometimes. So, but yeah, I would love to do a project like that just to continue that healing process of bringing folks back who were forced out too soon, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So true. So true. Well, we are out of time, Johnny.
I appreciate you inviting me.
I appreciate you, too. And I'm sorry it's been so long.
But,
I'll have to get you back possibly around Christmas time. See what you and your young people are doing.
Maybe I can bring some young people up here, too.
Oh, that'd be great.
Kind of check them out and let them talk to you about what they see. Because I know what I see, but what they see might be different.
You know what? That's what we'll do.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right. We'll do that. Thank you so
Thank
much,
you.
Johnny, for coming.
Thank you.
Enjoy you. And
you're
keep
listening
up the
good to
work.
The Talking Place from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electric.